Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The transfiguration of Jesus, seen by Peter, James, and John, marks a signal in the Gospels themselves that Jesus is toward Jerusalem, that he is toward his departure, his death, burial, and resurrection. And it's read every year as an introduction to the season of Lent. And Luke relates how difficult and even terrifying this event was to the three who were with Jesus. Now, in our gospel lesson today, it seems rather mild, and we've heard it many times, but it is not terribly difficult to imagine the sight. All you need to do is go out there after we're done and look straight at the sun. Don't do that, please. Nobody do that. And you will see what they were seeing, this human being that was as bright with its own light from within, shining like the sun, so bright that the clothes are even changed to pure white. Now, if that isn't enough, Luke tells us that they became heavy with sleep. Now, heavy with sleep is not the usual term. This is not talking about, well, we were tired when we climbed up the mountain, and so, you know, we just took a little rest. No, that's not what it's about. Nor is it like the meeting has gone on too long, and you're listening to the meeting, and you're watching the PowerPoint. No, that's not it at all. What heavy with sleep here is the same words, group of words, used when the soldiers fall down like dead men at the Jesus tomb when the angel comes. This word is also where they were when you're fearful. So fearful that your mind is overwhelmed. And it's at this point that we have to consider what they were hearing. Now, none of the readings of the gospel quote Jesus, Elijah, or Moses of what they were discussing. But Luke has more than the rest. Now, Luke includes after these sayings. After these sayings would take us back to where Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers, "The Son of God." That's who you are, the Son of the living God, the Christ. And then Jesus goes on to explain what that means, that he will die, he will go in, suffer, and die, and rise again on the third day. And Luke and all the Gospels tell us that at this point the apostles nodded their heads like they understood what was going on. "You have done it as well, I know this. I have done it as well." And just passed it over. But now they are hearing what that is as Jesus discusses it with Moses and Elijah. And so they're going to hear what is taking place in Jerusalem. And hearing that hit them so hard that they became faint, that they fell down like dead people. And so we consider what he was telling them. Moses and Elijah, the two great prophets of the Old Testament. Moses, who led the people out of Egypt, led them for 40 years as they were tested. And Israel, again and again, saying that they will do what God wants, but clearly doing what they want. And Elijah, who talked, who spoke, who killed prophets of Baal, who had fire come down from heaven. But God had to comfort him in a cave by saying, "There are still 7,000 out of all of Israel who have not bowed the knee nor kissed the Baal." You see, God's people are unfaithful. And here we have Moses, who is faithful in God's house, according to the book of Hebrews, that he was faithful in all of God's house, going through all that, even though the people were unfaithful. And so they would hear no doubt about their faithlessness, about the people's faithlessness. These who were in Israel, the priests and the Pharisees and all those who, quote, were looking for a Messiah to deliver them from the Romans, but did not look for a Messiah to deliver them from sin and death. They would be crying for Jesus' blood. And also they would hear, no doubt, about them leaving. After all, it's prophesied. Jesus said that even on the night when he was betrayed. They will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. And so they hear about this. And then consider what they heard in that glorious time as they were awakening their senses, that the secret of the ages was about to happen, that Jesus' death and resurrection would signal that sin, death, and the devil were defeated, and Jesus' departure would not be into the realm of death and destruction, but departure into eternal glory. And this departure would also mean the salvation of those who believe. His change of appearance would no doubt overwhelm human minds, and the message that he has still is too much to comprehend. That bringing people to faith in Jesus Christ changes their departure. That their death is only a sleep, and that their lives are found in Jesus Christ. You know, our flesh and blood and our nature, cursed, twisted by original sin, and weakened by false notions of what God is, does, and wants for us, cannot comprehend that. And so it is rightly that the majesty and love of God, that Jesus' holiness causes fear. And so, what happens? Peter babbles something about building some tabernacles, as if Moses and Elijah were equal to Jesus. That's one thing. But as if they would stay on that mountain, and that would be what was going on. They already heard about the departure. But Peter does not want to focus on the departure. He has already said, you're not going to suffer and die. Jesus told to get behind me, Satan. But Peter wants to be busy. Peter, like the rest of us, want to be busy. He wants to go on and soothe his conscience by building something, doing something, showing how much he loves and how much he cares and how much he wants this to stay. And it happens so quickly that it slips out of Peter's mouth. And so it happens to us as well when we are confronted by the sheer grace of God and his glory. That means we follow him and receive from him. And so we end up talking nonsense about our plans of self-betterment, or how we're going to make a real difference in our family or in our workplace, in our community, in our world. We're going to do that for you, Jesus. You see where that gets you. A cloud comes over and stops all of that and says, this is my son with whom I am well pleased, the chosen one. Listen to him. Listen? I mean, all we have to do is listen? Listen and actually do what Jesus says? Well, that doesn't make any room for us to change a lot of stuff, does it? It's Jesus who does it. You see, he is the one who prepares the house for us. He is the builder of the house, as Hebrews says. We certainly want to live there. We certainly want to keep it together. But the builder is Jesus Christ. God in his mercy quiets Peter, and he quiets us. He gives us time to understand that his gifts are for us, and that by serving our neighbor, we serve him. Now, in Lent, there are all kinds of disciplines. Liturgical congregations around the world will have the giving of ashes, the impression of those on the forehead. There will also be a time when we will focus in churches around the world on prayer and fasting, extra devotions, and all those good things. But unless they are about Jesus Christ and his departure and our departure, they are just vain works. The work that we have to do is listening to Jesus, to be drawn again to our baptism where the forgiveness of sins is given out, to be drawn to his word again and again so that it doesn't make us senseless, but rather fills us up with the words of Christ and God so that we are transformed. Oh no, you won't get any brighter. I'm sorry to say that. But you will be transformed because God promises it. Your heart will be transformed. You will see the world not through your cynical, cursed flesh, but you will see it as God sees it. Those who are in need of compassion, those around you who need forgiveness and life in Jesus Christ, a world that needs our prayers, and a world that is hungry and needs Jesus Christ. Even with Peter's babbling and ours, Jesus does not abandon them. He doesn't say, well, I guess you guys aren't worthy because you don't understand and you don't have the right point of view. No, Jesus is there alone, back to where he looked like himself again, according to the flesh. And they once again could approach him. Now, they don't say anything then, that's for sure. Wasn't given to them to say anything at that point. They were to listen. But it is our point to listen and share. Because he did die upon the cross. He did rise from the dead. He did give his commands to baptize and to teach, to receive his body and blood, to go out into the world and give for the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. When you honor him, you let him choose your works and your ways. And he is there comforting you and preparing you for all the good that he has to give. And quite frankly, he prepares us for our departure. Our departure from this world, or when he returns again. But nevertheless, Jesus Christ is with you now and forever, in his body, in his blood, in his word and spirit, to life eternal. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.